I used to think my purpose was to raise healthy, happy children who became purposeful citizens of society, and that I did. But then one day, my son David came home to me and said on a particular situation, "You know, Mom, you were right." And with that, I knew I had an impact. So my question to you is, do you live by purpose only, or do you live to have an impact? Kirby Ingalls has some thoughts around that. Let's listen.
One of the things I've talked quite a bit about recently with organizations is when you have baseball stadiums shut down and there's no fans, that affects the sanitation business because there's no trash to pick up anymore. You know, I mean, literally, like, you have to think about the impact that your company has or your organization does on so many different people's lives. And if you don't think of it that way, that 40,000 foot view, then you might be missing something. If you're only focused on that one little project and I got to get this partner on board, you might be missing something.
Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, I'm Deb Coviello, founder of Illumination Partners, and I wanted to thank you for joining me today on another episode of the Drop-In CEO podcast, where I get to speak to amazing leaders and share their insights with you. And if you like this episode, please share and subscribe so we can continue to bring you great programming. And I'd also like to make you an offer. I'm the CEO's guide to reflect on your business, elevate your team through rapid change, and bring you peace of mind. For more information in these services, please reach out to me via my website at dropinceo.com/contact. And let's continue the conversation about my consulting services and my Human-Centric Leadership Academy. And so now, it is my pleasure to introduce to you today, Kirby Scott Ingalls. Kirby has 25 years in leadership and human capital consulting, hosts the True Success podcast, and is a U.S. Army combat veteran. He advocates for the fatherless and raises awareness through running ultra marathons, memorializing heroes who lost their lives to PTSD. And he has also coached professionally for the last 6 years. It is my honor to introduce to you today, Kirby. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. Thank you for having me on the Drop-In CEO podcast. And it's great to be here and talk to your audience today. Thank you.
All right. So this is going to be a great conversation. When we jumped on our discovery call, I just remember our insights about serving people, elevating them through our work. There are so many people in this world that want to maximize their potential. And so the work that Kirby does, that I do when I go into businesses, just resonates. And this is going to be a fantastic conversation. So Kirby, you have an amazing past. Tell us a little bit about you personally, your business journey, and how you've arrived at the work that you're doing now.
Yeah, you know, a journey is quite interesting. You know, I grew up in a broken home most of my life. My mother was married and divorced 3 different times. And I don't know who my biological father is, which is the emphasis on the fatherless men and boys that you mentioned in the introduction. And so, you know, I graduated high school. I didn't have much going on. So I ended up joining the Army, and I was in the Army for over 20 years where I found a lot of structure, a lot of leadership, a lot of discipline and things like that. I had a very broad and vast experience in the Army where I had worked with, you know, the inspector general for a while, which is about maintaining standards and, you know, ensuring that things function appropriately. I worked with victims of sexual assault while I was there. And then also, especially in a pivotal time during that time frame when the Department of Defense was launching the sexual assault prevention response program in 2008. And then again, you know, I came back 4 or 5 years later, and then I was working in that program again between like 2014 and 2016. And from there, I left and worked with the much like a consultant, you know, for a medical service company, helping young soldiers who had gotten hurt or injured during basic training rehabilitate and get back to a healthy person so that way they could finish their training and continue the purpose that they initially enlisted or came in the military for so they could continue to live that out. And so that was my job. So to help, you know, with that process. And since then, you know, I've done many coaching certifications, worked for a couple different coaching companies, and it's been quite amazing to see the vast amount of experience I've gotten. One of your past guests, Colonel Deborah Lewis, reminded me of that because she was like, you have to put in the work. And she's a pioneer for women and leaders of mental toughness, taking stress to success. And when I heard her, that reminded me of my military service. So when I was listening to your podcast, I was like, yeah, she hit the nail on the head there. So,
you know, there's something in that. So thank you for listening. You know, I'm building this podcast here. Don't have thousands of subscribers, but the subscribers that I have truly appreciate the guests that I bring on, and you will truly appreciate, Kirby, when this goes live, that it really is just, we're both about serving, you know, filling a gap that maybe is missing. I mean, that's the mission that I'm on. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a lot of insights and inspiration from leadership. Again, had great managers and leaders, but it's almost like I'm on a quest, finding those people, regular people that have served and continue to serve others based on their past, bringing their unique gifts and insights and helping the people. And Deb, yourself are just such people. So I am honored to be in your company and we'll continue this conversation. So thank you for that.
No problem.
But curious, the military career, because I also have some people who have been in the military in my family. What is it about the military that maybe you've brought forward into the work that you're doing now?
Yeah, this is quite a greater story for me. Actually, it goes back centuries.
Okay.
It's like the family business, but I'm the only one who stayed for a long, long career.
Really?
And retired. There's a couple that may have at some point in time, but my family has been in the Civil War. Brother and father fought for the Union. Then the father actually died in POW camp in Louisiana of dysentery. So, you know, terrible conditions and things like that back then. And so I kind of quite understand the humanity of it as well. You know, I had family that came over here to America before it was even a country, when it was colonized by Great Britain. And they came here for an opportunity because they were on the wrong side of a rebellion in London. And they went to prison, they were released, and they came to America for a new opportunity and ended up being part of the colonial army and fought in the French Unity War and the American Revolutionary War. So, you know, I could take it like way back, you know, all the way to Scotland. So I very much know. And if you could see my office, you know, you see all this memorabilia and this military regalia. And it's just because it's there's a sense of pride in that. And, you know, it's like a sense of duty. It's a citizenship for me. You know, it's like I feel a duty as a citizen to continue to do this. Plus, it's a family legacy. It's important that I teach my family and I lead by example and share that with them, you know, because my family shared their legacy with me. And I felt that was very powerful. They were like titans. But, you know, as far as the military goes, my grandfather and my grandmother knew from an early age. Like, I grew up in a very small town of 7,000 people. We farmed cattle, soybeans, you know, corn, hogs, you know, all that. And so they knew that my lifestyle was never going to improve if I continue to stay in that town. There's only two factories. The prison's the staple of the community. And that's where all the jobs are at. And they're like, look, we don't want this life for you. We want opportunity for you. And you have to get out. And the military was that way. And my grandfather told me, he's like, the only reason I got out of the Navy after 4 years is because they wouldn't get me off the command ship. Otherwise, I would have stayed. I don't have regrets of coming home and marrying your grandmother and having this great big family. But he's like, I love the military. It's just that I didn't have any options. And that's why I left. And he goes, if I would have had a different choice, I would have stayed because the camaraderie, I love my country. And there was a lot of other reasons he's told us that. But and I just remember that. And those words and hit our conversations, you know, and they molded me since I was about 12 years old. You know, they were constantly like, are you going to college? Where are you going to find money? What are you going to do? Are you going to go into debt? You know, and they just kept like, and so it was, they were shifting me in that direction. They very intentionally did that. So that's why I did that.
So that's the power of influence, but yeah. And maybe you never had a choice to begin with. You know, you said some things that, again, thank you. Service, service to country, service to self, your family. There are so many powerful words in what you talked about. You talked about the word pride, personal pride, pride in what it represents. You talk about citizenship, serving the community, the greater good. And you also talked about leaving a legacy. And so what I wanted to capture about that for people to think about is that you pursued a military career as a foundation and serves you still now in your civilian life. But think about people and what you could do that. What are you proud of? What brings you pride, whether it's association with your community, your education, creating a beautiful family? You can have pride in that and also serve the community, because as we lift the community and others, you know, we lift ourselves as well. So think about ways that not only, yes, this is a leadership podcast, but think more holistically, because ultimately all of this is going to trickle into the work you do. And then finally, just thinking about everything you say or do, or show up in the world, it's the legacy that you leave on the people that you serve or lead. So I love this story so much because you bring up such great, great themes. Yeah. But this is about you. So let's go back to you and your business. And what are your taglines when you talk about your LinkedIn profile is about, I love working with rookie corporate leaders and bringing them from purpose to impact. So there's so much in that. Would love to know a little bit more about the rookie corporate as compared to others, but also the transition from purpose to impact. What is that and what does that look like? So please.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So the rookie leaders is basically a demographic that I'm targeting, and that's basically it. And what I found is there's a great need there. And so at the tier of my military career, or the pyramid, or the top of the pyramid, that's the demographic I was working with. I was working with those middle managers. They knew that they were in this to win this. You know, they were a part of this organization, and they wanted to do something great, and they wanted to achieve some other things, but they just didn't have all the tools that they needed. And whether that be the experience, the mentorship, the coaching, you know, whatever it was, what I've found is with the corporate leaders is that a lot of the rookies are, we'll call them first time managers or directors, because that's typically what they are. What they do is they are selected because of performance or because of some technical expertise. Not generally they're selected for their leadership capabilities because they haven't been tested yet, or they haven't demonstrated those potentials. They might've worked on one or two projects or something like that, but it's usually, you know, that's the reason why. And so when they show up, they don't have the training, and then they get the training and it's fed down their throat, you know, within a week or two timeframe. And it's, hey, you know, or a conference here, or conference there, which in a COVID environment is a little different now. And so you take it, and then you do what everybody else does at a conference. You take your binder or the workshop, and you throw it in a closet a couple of weeks later, and you just forget about it, and you go back to everything that you used to know. And so for me, purpose to impact, and that kind of relates to the target group, but the purpose to impact is really me coming alongside them, helping them find purpose in what they do. There's a TED Talk, and forgive me, I can't remember the gal's name, but she influenced me when I watched it. And she was like, don't help people find a better job or better benefits or better pay. Help them find a mission, and you will triple your retention rate. And so if people feel called to serve your organization because of a purpose, then they're going to stay longer, and they're not going to chase, you know, a lot of us do. We chase the benefits. We think, if I get this title, or if I get this, you know, extra retirement, or if I get this bonus at the, you know, this company offers me like 20 more days of vacation, you know, we're going to chase those things, right? It's because it's the intrinsic value that we seek. It's not really in the inside. It's that intrinsic value that we really want. And if we feel called to serve something and we feel good about it, we're going to get up every day. We're going to do our best job. And it's really not going to matter how much we get paid. I mean, it's important. Don't get me wrong. You know, you want to have a healthy lifestyle, but it's really that intrinsic desire. You know, you can get into a lot of different things from here, but it's really just, do you feel called, purpose, and fulfilled what you do in your work? And if you don't, then you're probably going to go look for something else somewhere else, but we're usually looking for the wrong things. And that's where the purpose comes from. And the impact goes is, how can I impact that community? When I talk about community, it's very broad. And I'll say that my sense of community is the local community or even the regional community. And so I'm looking to impact those folks. You know, other people, it may be their community, maybe their family, and maybe their church. It may be that micro community in their work. So we all live in these different communities, and, you know, the bubbles or the circles get bigger and bigger as you expand out, or you can call it your circle of influence, and you can, it expands. But we all define that community that we want to have an impact on. And I really ask folks, like, you know, what kind of impact do you want to have? And for a lot of corporate leaders that I've worked with, it's the stakeholders they want to impact. It's not so much the stockholders, you know, I mean, obviously they're important, but it's all the way down to the janitor. It's the guy that delivers the mail. It's all those people that are affected by your company. Because if your company is not doing business, then those people are missing out. You know, one of the things I've talked about quite a bit about recently with organizations is when you have baseball stadiums shut down and there's no fans, that affects the sanitation business because there's no trash to pick up anymore. You know, I mean, literally, like, you have to think about the impact that your company has or your organization does on so many different people's lives. And if you don't think of it that way, that 40,000 foot view, then you might be missing something. If you're only focused on that one little project and I got to get this partner on board, you might be missing something.
You have hit a home run speaking about baseball. You know, it's so true, because if you ask people for results, they're just going to hit that target. They'll be mission critical on just that target. But when you ask people about the purpose or the outcome, and to your point, the impact that you'd like to make, then you open up possibilities. Impact, it could take on multiple targets, multiple metrics, and impact can only be done by more than just yourself. It's the community. So I really love that. That changes the complete narrative. You know, do I want a particular job, a particular title, a particular salary? But what impact are you making on your family, yourself, and the people around you? It changes the conversation so much. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, this is why I brought you on, because there's so many things we're aligned with. But, you know, I'd love to know a little bit more, because you target these people, you hope they're ready for your coaching and your help. But have you ever had a situation where you had a client, you had a team in front of you that they weren't ready or they weren't in the mindset? How did you help them through the transformation? I'd love to know how, because I really think yourself, a leader, a coach, when you can help people through that transformation, you and they achieve such an impact.
I'll tell you a story, and you know, it reminds me of earlier episode you had, because Toastmasters is about telling stories, and Dave Bricker, who talked about storytelling at Toastmasters in the previous episode of yours, was mentioned that, and that's kind of how I learned that. But it was a young woman. She had come out of the nonprofit industry. She was working for a social media company as an independent manager. She was saying, I have direct reports. She had a senior manager she reported to, and she was having a hard time with the culture change. You go from a nonprofit to working in a corporate setting. It is a little bit of a change. And she was struggling through that, some, you know, trying to get her foothold, you know, and establish, you know, herself as a leader. And also she was a woman. So that was very challenging for her as well. And in this corporate setting. And we were working together and we were kind of getting through all the stuff, you know, the nasty gram emails and some of the other stuff that goes on, you know, and this person's jockeying for this project. And, you know, there's some battles going on in that setting. And, you know, we finally had gotten through all that, you know, and she told me, she's like, look, the corporate world is slow. She's like, I it's too slow for me. You know, nonprofit, you're trying to survive every day. You know, if you don't be decisive, you might not get this done and you might not be here next week. And she's like, we're just so slow. She goes, decisions, you know, there's this is meeting after meeting after meeting and analysis after analysis. And she's like, we have to make decisions. We have to go, you know, and she's having a hard time slowing down a little bit. And so she finally got through it, you know, after a few months, and her boss got let go. After all the challenging relationships she had, her boss was let go, and it was the only advocate she had. He was like her pillar in the organization. And she's like, now I have to start over. She's like, I think I'm going back to my old job next week. I said, hold on a minute. I was like, let's not jump to conclusions. He lost his job. Nobody knows what's happening yet. Nobody even knows why. And so she's like, it's just chaos. People are jockeying in the office, you know, and they're trying to like, who's going to get promoted, or, you know, they're like setting up these reality TV shows, alliances and stuff. And I was like, why don't you just take what you've learned in the nonprofit world? And I said, you said it was a fast paced environment. You had to be decisive. You had to have a clear head. You had to know what your goals and your ambitions were, and you had to attack. So I was like, so be that pillar in this micro community and this social media organization. And so she was the one with a clear head. So she kind of went back in and said, okay, I'm going to be the one that everybody relies on. I'm going to be the one that can prevail in an environment where it's just full of chaos, because I'm used to this environment. You know, when I'm in the nonprofit world, it's world chaos. You know, it's you're constantly trying to survive. And she's like, I can do this. And so she took some of those strengths that we had noticed, you know, because what basically we did a strength finders test, and, you know, we knew what her strengths were and leveraged those strengths. Within a few months, people were leaning on her. And I always say the pillar of the community, people were leaning on her as the pillar in that organization. And eventually, within a few months, She was selected to fulfill that senior manager's role. And so she had four or five managers working for her now because of the way she conducted herself and handled herself. So they temporarily filled the job and then they gave her permanent placement. And that was her. Just because of how she reacted in the situation. While everybody else was doing the whole jockeying, she was the one that just said, maintained her eye on the prize, stayed focused on the company's mission and goals. You know, that was one of the things we worked on is how to incorporate her into that, you know, and looking at all the videos that the CEO made when he brought, you know, all calls in, and we were listening to the themes and the messages, and we prepared her for that new culture. And if it happened, she was ready to, you know, take on that lead and assume that role as the lead manager. So
this is an exciting story. And, you know, there's something, the one thing I want to pick up with you just said was being the pillar of the community, because I have seen people that just want to take control. They see things. I'm working with a client right now. I'm coaching them at the same time. And they're telling me of complete chaos. I said, be you. Trust me, help is on the way. Things will get better. But in the meantime, act as the leader that you would like to see in leadership, and good things will come your way. I think that is such a good piece of advice. Sometimes we should reflect on what got us to this point, and maybe things aren't optimal for where you're operating, but just be you, be that person. Don't look up to leadership sometimes where it might not be there. You may be the leader that they need to look up to.
Yeah, it's quite important. I mean, that you maintain that focus and that composure in those moments, because you just don't know what opportunity is going to transpire out of there. I mean, it's just, you have to be that leader. So,
you know, as I've come to know you, you're obviously very skilled at your craft, constantly an active learner all the time, building your craft to be able to elevate other people. But I also want to go just a little bit personal. You have the True Success Podcast, and I am fast becoming a fan because of your intro, the motivational epic music, and the command of the content and the audience that you're talking to. But I'm curious, I mean, we all have our different reasons for doing podcasting and reaching out to the audience, but I'm curious, how has the podcast impacted you?
It's quite interesting, because when I first wanted to start the podcast, I was going to start it to create a conversation about fatherless men in America. There's just nothing out there, really. You know, I wanted to create that conversation. And I decided, you know, I had a good friend who was working with me. We were at a conference together before COVID hit. And so we were kind of working through these things. And one of the guys that was on the stage says, hey, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, just start a podcast. Don't think about it too much more. If you're just thinking about it, just start it. Just talk about whatever. Don't worry about all the stuff that we slow ourselves down more so. So I did. I started the podcast, and that really kind of pushed my limits as far as speaking on radio and, you know, starting to do videos and things like that. So I kind of got to understand the business about that a little bit, how to repurpose content and other things, which is beneficial for me as an individual. But as far as the podcasting itself goes, it's helped me clarify my ideas a lot more. And so as the podcast has gone along, I've continued to grow it. And initially, I said I was going to do it just to create a conversation about fatherless men in America, or boys, and the challenges that we have with that. And that's when I started to go through that process. I realized that I was like, there's more than that. I was like, the real reason I want to do this podcast isn't so much about that, but it's I want people to go to that purpose to impact perspective. I want them to hear other people's stories, and not only just mine, because I do a lot of solo stuff as well, but where they have found purpose and they've created impact. Because there's this quote by Mother Teresa that basically is if you cast a stone in the water, you can create a ripple effect. And so that's what I want to know what people are going to do. That's what I want people to share. Like, I've had Chris Keg on my show, who's a paraplegic, and he lost the use of his legs through a disease while he was in the Marine Corps and got out. And now he's helping kids and other adults who have lost the use of a limb or, you know, a body part or something to do physical fitness. And he's got this organization called I Am Able. And so he's taken his life experiences and applied them forward so he can impact a greater community. That really gives him a greater sense of purpose. Like, you know, the Marines and the Army together, you know, there's this greater sense of purpose. You're serving something bigger than you. And now he's doing the same thing. So I wanted to take that ideology and I wanted to put it on the podcast so that way I can inspire other people to do the same thing, to hear these stories, because I think people's stories are important to tell. And to hear me just talk on the podcast, you know, is one thing. But when you hear somebody else's story, you can connect with it in a whole different way. And maybe it'll inspire some people to take action.
Yeah, all of the above for me as well. If I flip this to just the leadership component, is sometimes, again, middle managers, your rookie corporate leaders, they do fantastic work, but do they ever pause and think about what do they stand for? And that goes to your point about that purpose. And then you need to hone it. You need to try it out. What do you stand for? What are you here to do? And just you, we leverage the podcast to hone our message. So then it just comes out. And then every time we show up, you know what we stand for, you know what we do, and you're going to get the same product, whether I show up in a book, at a speaking event, a podcast, or one-on-one coaching. So I think that's a really important tip for these rookie corporate leaders and anybody else listening to that. But true to form, it's really about that human connection. And the more that you can do that in your life, yes, you may be able to impact others, but look for the rewards, or don't look for them, but you may be rewarded and be personally impacted by these connections with people. So you do a lot of writing. Your website has got a lot of content, but you, I don't know if it's in one of your downloads or somewhere else, you talk about the principles of Henry Ford's Service Performance Institute, and there were four main points. But one of the ones that was interesting to me was about one of his principles, an absence of fear of the future and of a veneration for the past. So what does that mean to you? Why is that important? Why did you cite this work?
I think that we have to be concerned with the future. And I think that we have to, you know, the veneration of the past is also, I look at it in a couple different ways. You know, we can glorify the past, or we can look at our past mistakes and learn from those things and move forward. But also the fear of the future, we can't be afraid of what's about to come. We have to pursue it. But fear also is a very positive thing. Moving forward, it makes us move forward slowly rather than too quickly. And I think sometimes if you go a little bit slower, you know, rather than, you know, I'm just not going to go charging in, you know, to something I haven't like necessarily checked out or foreseen, you know, we can be too risk averse, you know. So I think that's just going slow and having that fear of like, hey, if we don't do certain things, then this could have bad consequences in the future. So I think you can take it quite a few different ways. I just thought that that statement was extremely powerful. And it was like, okay, I can sit back here and I can think about that. And I can look at it from several different angles. And I thought that was very cleverly written how he wrote that. And that's why I wrote it. I thought it was a beautiful statement. So,
you know, it truly is, because we do fear the unknown. And obviously The universe has presented us with a lot of unknowns lately. But, you know, maybe within our sphere, as you say, of influence, if you can one step at a day, try something new, take a new course, pick up the phone and just call somebody that maybe you haven't spoken to in 10 years, as part of networking, take a risk. The worst thing can be an awkward moment, but again, you still reached out to humanity. So I love your, you know, about don't fear the future. So I think this may be something very relevant. You also wrote something about making social connections in 90 seconds. Okay. And so I really think, is there a few things that you think are actionable? Because yes, we're getting zoomed out. We're on all these conference calls. We're still meeting people we don't know. But on the chance we go out into the community and we shop, we have to drop something off at the post office, we still interact with people. There is still an opportunity to connect with humanity. And I'd love your perspective on this content that you wrote and maybe a couple, three things people should think about to make a difference.
Yeah, I think it's really quite simple when we do interact with people, because we just never know how things are going to go. So one of the things I really love to build a social connection with people is this: I see people having a bad day. Yes. And it's up to me. It's up to me to make that day better. I don't know how many times we've been in airports. I know it's a challenging time right now to go to the airport, but somebody is upset because their flight got canceled and they're taking out on that person that's on the other end that has nothing to do with it. They can't control the weather. And so when I get up there, I ask them, how's your day going? And they might look at me like, you know, are you serious? And I'm like, it doesn't look like it's going so well. I was like, is there something that I can do for you? Or I'll try to say something, you know, to kind of make them laugh, or, you know, and say, hey, it's going to be all right. I'm not going to bombard you. I try to put them back at ease. And that's one thing, you know, and you build that connection, and that's benefited me in a certain way. I've seen people in the checkout line get nasty with other folks. And I'm just like, they can't do anything about it, you know, and it's not their fault. And so, you know, I will say some nice things, or I'll ask somebody, hey, how, looks like you're having a rough day. How's your day going? And they may just need to say something. They may just need to say, get it off their chest, and allow them to have that moment. Have that, which is what we call a creating space. Let them have that space and then say something in return. You know, don't tell them how to fix a problem, because they probably already know how to do that. We don't need to fix other people's problems, but, you know, just something like, you know, I really feel for you. You know, I understand how you feel. I get this moment in time where you just, they could have, their parent might have passed away a couple of days ago or something. They have a rough day. You just don't know. And so we attack people, and there's a lot of hatred out there. And I think the best advice I get all the time from my mentors is, when we see people being mean, we just have to be empathetic, because we just don't know that the hatred that they have inside and what they've gone through. And so, but they need empathetic people to help them get through that moment, and not to sit there and be abrasive back, because what's going to happen is if you use force back, they're going to use force back with you. This is going to continue to escalate back and forth, like we see a lot on social media. And there's no room for that. So I think a couple other things I would say is smile. People, you know, you just don't know what a smile is going to do. And that goes kind of back towards saying something nice to somebody that's having a rough day.
I love what you have. I mean, laughter is a great thing, and listening. These are all great pieces of advice. When we're done, and this will be in the show notes, definitely check out his content. If nothing else, he doesn't provide you answers, but Kirby makes you think.
Yeah.
And what I really like about this is the fact that, you know, we can teach leaders what's their purpose, what's their impact. We can help them with essential skills. But what I really like about the work that you do is that you also do it in the context of impact on the community. And if we can impact one person each day, again, you tie in the humanity part as well as developing the individual. And for that, I simply really love the work that you're doing to elevate people. And we may not have enough time to get this, but you also do these ultra marathons to raise awareness for the fatherless, as well as lost lives to PTSD. Maybe a quick mention about that, because I think that's really important for you as a person and what you do for community.
Yeah, so that comes from a place of purpose as well. So I began running ultra marathons years ago because I hurt my back. So I have two herniated discs in my neck, and I have two in my lower back. And so the doctor basically scared me one time. And, you know, he said, by the time you're 70, you're going to be in a wheelchair. And I was just kind of like, you know what? Forget it. I'm done. If I'm going to be in a wheelchair, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to empty my bucket list. And because, hey, I ain't got time. There's a sense of urgency here. And so as I began to run, I began to feel better. And, you know, I found out that I was actually pretty good at this thing called running, which, why would anybody run? That's crazy. Like, why would you want to run in sweat? You know, so as I just kept, you know, I was like, there's something to this, you know, why am I so good at this? And then I found this community called the Trail Running Community, which has really been influential for my mindset of community. I found that community, and they really helped me get through a lot of things that I was going through in my life, because I went through a divorce. You know, I had lost some friends in war that I was dealing with, you know, and I was just able to have conversations and just get a really good group of healthy, supportive people who are passionate about this thing called running. And we did some crazy stuff like ultra running. So we were pushing ourselves in our limits. We were getting outside of our comfort zones. And it's just a great community. But as I began the years going by, I had done like 12 or 13 of them or something like that. And it's like, what's next? And I found this organization called 22 Too Many. And basically, they memorialize veterans who have lost their lives to suicide and PTSD. And that gave my running a whole nother purpose. And I reinvested myself into that process. And the conversations that I've had with people while I've been running, because it's not a very fast pace. You're running 50 miles over the course of 12 hours. So you're not like running like the blaze of speed, like you know, Usain Bolt. But, it's the conversations that we've had, the thank yous that I've gotten just for doing it. People just run by you and say, thank you for doing this. Or can you tell me a little bit about Joel Rodriguez, who's actually a friend of mine that I knew a long time ago. And he had lost his life to PTSD. And we were best friends for a few years. And then it wasn't until 20 years later, I found out that he had taken his own life just 6 months prior. And so when you find those things out, you're like, wow, you know, if I would have just thought about him one moment and reached out, you know, you kind of have some of that guilt. And so running helps with that a little bit, and it helps you with that. And the other thing I will say with that is that it's not only about me, and it wasn't always about them, but it's about the family, because they're left in the wake. And then they need somebody to come along and say, you know what, I'm running for your child. They're not forgotten. Their service still counts, and we still love them, and we're going to carry their legacy forward. And that, you know, I send the race bib, I send the picture back, I send it back to their family, and it helps them. It helps them with their healing process to know that some of us out here still remember them. So
beautiful story, beautiful service, giving back, and all that you do is about moving from purpose to impact. So love what you do. If you haven't checked out his podcast, please do. I mean, I'm fond of it. So great work that he's done, and I know you're going to continue to do great things with your clients and others that you serve. But before we bring this to a close, is there any last thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, Deb, I just want to thank you and the audience here at the Drop-In CEO podcast that, you know, for having me on here, having me share this story, just raising awareness. I mean, that's what it's about, you know, and if one or two people just decide to take action, go check the websites out or, you know, whatnot, and, you know, decide to participate or even do one run with a picture on their back, that would be worth it for me. You just don't know. Like I said, it's a ripple effect, a drop. It's a drop of water in a body of water creates that ripple effect. And it just continues to cascade out. And I think that's the most important thing that anybody can do. We've got enough stuff in this world we have to worry about. We just need a little bit more kindness. And I appreciate that. If anybody wants to check out that document on Henry Ford, there's a link. I think you're going to drop it in the show notes, but it's bit.ly/fear-failure-opportunity. And through fear and failure, we can create opportunity. And it's just my personal thoughts on his book and his writing. And it was written over 100 years ago, and I think his wisdom is timeless and still applies to a lot of things that we'll see today.
All right. So how else should people connect with you?
Yeah, and that is KirbyIngles.com. That's the best place to go. If you want to go to social media, just type in Kirby Scott Ingles. There's not that many in the world.
But we're so grateful that we have this one, Kirby Scott Ingles, who is a fabulous guest on my show. Thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate your insights, and be well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.